This is Geek News Central. My name is Kirk Corliss, filling in for Todd Cochran. Coming up, Coinbase made a mistake. China is cutting children's online gaming to an hour, and 60% of AT&T's network in Louisiana is working. Those stories and more, it's coming up. I want to welcome you to episode 1550 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, August 30th, 2021. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to welcome all the longtime and new listeners of the podcast. If you are a new listener, please be sure to head on over to geeknewscentral.com and subscribe to the podcast, where you can find on the right-hand side column, be it Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Also, further down on the website, almost towards the bottom, actually towards the top, is the newsletter, where you'll get the newsletter you can subscribe to, and it'll be delivered. All the show notes will be delivered by email in your inbox for each episode, for this episode and other episodes also. If you have comments or you want to say hi, my email is pa@geeknewscentral.com. I'm also on Twitter at Kirk Corliss. You can also join us at geeknews.chat. And also be sure to like and follow on the Geek News Central Facebook page. Partner shows include GNC Week in Review, powered by Geek News Central. That's hosted by myself and co-hosted by myself and Scott Ertz. There is the Gadget Professor with Don Bain, the Pro Gear Site by the GNC team, and also the New Media Show with Todd and Rob Greenlee. This show would not be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy, who is the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast. Over on GoDaddy, you can get all of your GoDaddy products and services at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. There are great deals to be had. So there's, for example, 30% off on new product purchases, $4.99.com new or transfer for new customers, $1 a month economy hosting, first year with a free domain, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for first year with a free domain, or a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. So this is great deals can be found. So if you want to start up a podcast, or you want to get your own site up, personal reason or business reason or e-commerce, a lot of great tools that are available and services over in GoDaddy. So your support helps keep the podcast online and also the independent writing team employed. You're supporting a small team of independent content creators by using one of the Geek News Central promo codes. You'll support us in that effort. So thank you so much for your support. Share these codes with your friends, family, people that you know. So great deals to be found over on geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So we thank you all very much for your support. So as Tom mentioned on the Thursday's episode, he is away on travel. He's in Salt Lake City for a conference, and he's going to Dragon Con as well. So he'll be back 1 week from this coming Thursday, which would be Thursday, September 9th. This upcoming Monday, 1 week from today, is Labor Day, so no show. But there will be a podcast I'll be guest hosting for this Thursday as well. Thank you so much for allowing me to be guest host. Like Todd for allowing me to guest host for this podcast episode, for this episode and Thursday's episode. So I got to say, when you last heard me guest hosting an episode, I was really, really nervous. I was really tongue-tied, to say the least. But over time, things have improved myself. And as you heard earlier, myself, along with my co-host Scott Ertz, have a podcast called GNC Week in Review. And the podcast is basically a week's wrap-up of all the tech news during a week. We dissect on what's going on, and we inquire about different things, have a great conversation, dissect all the stuff that's going on. Have a lot of fun as well. And so if you want to check the podcast out, it's at gncweekly.com/live. We are live Friday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday evenings, gncweekly.com/live. So basically, I've been on this podcast working as executive producer for 4 years this past March, and I have to say I enjoy it immensely. Working on the podcast Monday evenings and doing prep and working on it. I thank Todd profusely if I have not done so already. Thanking him for his support and welcome. Thank you all listeners for welcoming me in the Ohana, for welcoming me into the podcast and the team and Tech Podcast Network team as well. I enjoy it immensely. I have a lot of fun. I look forward to these episodes each week. Look forward to working on the podcast our own podcast on Friday evenings. It's a lot of fun. So basically, you know, now things have gotten improved with episodes. My episode, we're at the episode 95 on our podcast. We're at episode 95. So coming up to over 1,000 episodes is going to happen over time, of course. So I give Todd a lot of kudos being on his podcast for so long and for, you know, 1,500 episodes. Now 1,550 episode. For this episode, for Monday, so we're on the road to 1,600 episodes. So it's great to be aboard, and happy to be on the ride. All right, so we're gonna jump in with the tech news for this Monday. Tech news is a little bit light this week, but hopefully this coming Thursday will be more. So we'll see what happens. All right. First up this week, or this Monday, major cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase said it mistakenly told around 125,000. I apologize. I'm wrong with my computer. Okay. Let me start over. Major cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase said it mistakenly told around 125,000 customers that their two-factor authentication settings have been changed. The email and SMS notifications were sent to a, quote, internal error and were not the result of a hack. And this is from the company itself who told CNBC. Coinbase sent the false alert to users over the course of 82 minutes on Friday. It followed up with a second email stating that the message was sent by mistake. Coinbase later wrote on Twitter that a, quote, notification delivery issue was to blame and that it would, quote, continue to work to gain back the trust of every one of our customers who was impacted by the notifications. However, this issue appeared to be causing confusion and concern among users, with some suspecting their accounts have been hacked. At least one person said they sold crypto worth around $60,000 because they would lose it otherwise. Yikes. Well, so I'm good on Coinbase to notify, you know, it was a mistake. It was not a hack, but there's some people that got spooked and decided to. Well, one person decided to hit the panic button a little early and sold it. So hopefully things will get better going forward. So next up, this is really really shocking. And I imagine other countries wouldn't be doing this. I know certainly not in the U.S., but China is really laying down the hammer. China's video game regulator has said online gamers under the age of 18 will only be allowed to play for an hour on Fridays, weekends, and holidays. The National Press and Publication Administration told state-run news agency Xinhua, now for mispronouncing, I apologize, that game playing would be only allowed between 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. It also instructed gaming companies to prevent children playing outside these times. Earlier this month, a state media outlet branded online games, quote, spiritual opium. Inspections of online gaming companies will also increase to check that the time limits are being enforced, regulators said. Earlier rules had limited children's online game playing to 90 minutes per day, rising to 3 hours on holidays. The move reflects a long-running concern about the impact of excessive gaming on the young. A month prior to the latest restrictions, an article published by the state-run Economic Information Daily claimed many teenagers have become addicted to online gaming, and it was having a negative impact on them. The article proposed significant fails in the value of shares in some of China's biggest online gaming firms. This is really shocking. China is the controlling. Excuse me. China is really hardcore to allow. See, I can understand the United States parents, you know, have rules, you know, when you have to, you know, you can't go use online to, you know, once you do your homework and chores, then you can go online and play or go outside and go outside. I think that, you know, kids in the U.S., I think, you know, should have absolutely spent some time online, but not hours and hours on end, like on TikTok or Fortnite or God knows what. You know, kids need, you know, some fresh air, as my mom used to say. You need fresh air and go outside and play. So, but for China to enforce only 1 hour on Fridays, weekends, and holidays is absurd. And so that's really, when I was doing the rundown, you know, the news stories, and I saw this is like really shocking to me. So I'd like to know what your thoughts on it with your kids. If you have kids at home or parents of kids, do you have flexibility with your kids' online activities? Do you have restrictions? Love to hear from them. Just send my comments my way, pa@geeknewscentral.com or on Twitter @KirkCorliss. Other news this week. And this is unfortunate news in Louisiana with the Hurricane Ida and the devastation it's caused. And I wish all the best for the folks that are living in down Louisiana or in New Orleans. I wish all the best to you. My prayers and hearts and prayers go out to you all. AT&T said today that only 60% of its network in Louisiana is operating normally after Hurricane Ida battered the state on Sunday. The mobile carrier reported significant outages in New Orleans and Baton Rouge due to the mass power outages caused by the storm. AT&T said some of the key facilities have been restored, but others remain offline and are inaccessible due to flooding and damage. AT&T said in a blog post, quote, "Our network disaster recovery teams are working to gain access to these locations as soon as possible to restore services. We're also focused on getting our customers, their families, and first responders connected." AT&T reported that its wireless networks in Alabama are operating normally, and so far Mississippi has only seen a small impact on wireless operations. AT&T says its response teams will work around the clock until service restored. AT&T has dispatched mobile cell sites and mobile command centers like Cell on Wheels and Cell on Light trucks, emergency communication vehicles, high water vehicles, and more to affected areas. On Sunday, AT&T said it would waive overage chargers to provide unlimited talk, text, and data for AT&T postpaid and prepaid customers across Louisiana and Mississippi through September 4th. There's a full list of qualifying zip codes in AT&T's posts, and I have a link up in the show notes that you can, if you are in Louisiana, and you can check out these zip codes in that link and also in the post. Speaking of, and Apple's, in a tweet on Monday, Apple's CEO Tim Cook said that Apple will be donating to Hurricane Ida relief efforts. He says the company's thoughts and prayer, the company's thoughts are with people impacted by the storm, especially those sheltering in Louisiana. He tweeted, quote, "We're grateful for the first responders who are helping keep communities safe. Apple will be donating to relief and recovery efforts on the ground." So that's awesome. And a little more Apple news a little bit later. PayPal is, quote, "exploring the idea of allowing its users to track individual stocks." From CNBC, the company recently hired Trade King co-founder Richard Hagen to head up a new unit at the company called Invest at PayPal. Hagen says of the new job on his LinkedIn profile, leading, quote, leading PayPal's efforts to explore opportunities in a consumer investment business. A PayPal spokesperson declined to comment on the report. And to be honest, we have enough trading apps, Robinhood and others. It's great that PayPal is quote unquote exploring, but I don't think we need another app to do that. Also up, Toyota this weekend suspended all of its self-driving mobility pods operating around Tokyo following a crash with a visually impaired pedestrian. This incident occurred as Tokyo hosts the 2020 Paralympic Games, of which Toyota is the headline sponsor. Toyota says in a statement, quote, firstly, we would like to express our sincerest apologies to the individual that was injured due to this unfortunate collision. And we wish them a speedy recovery. We also like to apologize for any inconvenience caused to those who use our mobility vehicles in the athlete village. The pedestrian is also an athlete who is set to compete at the games. This is from Toyota. Though he was forced to withdraw from the sport due to minor injuries from the crash, the Toyota e-Palette mobility vehicle struck the person going about 1 mile per hour. As of today, Monday, the automaker issued an update saying the mobility vehicles are back online with beefed up safety staff. The automaker also increased the volume of the vehicle's warning sounds. In an additional statement, Toyota CEO Aku Toyoda said this crash highlights the challenge autonomous cars still face and may not be up for it. May not be up for yet. He also offers some honest words, quote, saying, quote, it shows that autonomous vehicles are not realistic for normal roads. The automaker will cooperate in investigations and set up plans to open its own investigation into the matter. So you have a CEO saying that they're not realistic for normal roads. So why would you put them out in the roads in the first place, and also causing injury to an athlete? So something tells me that Toyota is going to definitely going to have to think twice about putting autonomous vehicles on the road soon or in the future, or hopefully not in the next Olympic or Paralympic Games. Some Apple news this week, and this was surprising. John Stewart and I thought that he had a deal where he was supposed to work on have his own talk show or have some type of interview show on HBO. However, John Stewart is returning back to TV. However, it's going to be on Apple TV, Apple TV Plus to be exact. He's going to dissect some of the big issues of the day. His Apple TV Plus series, The Problem with John Stewart, will premiere on September 30th rather than airing on a nightly basis like The Daily Show. Or even weekly, new episodes will arrive every other week. In the show, Stewart will tackle one topic per episode. He'll speak with people affected by the issue and those who are involved in impacting others. Stewart and his guests will, this is from Apple, saying, quote, we'll discuss a more productive path towards action. The conversation will continue on the companion podcast, which features staff members from a series and activists working on the issue at hand. It's not clear how many episodes the first season will include, but the show is slated to run for multiple seasons. So definitely check out John Stewart. Big fan of John Stewart, so definitely check him out on Apple TV Plus this fall. Other news from Apple, they're expanding its music streaming options after buying classical service Prime Phonic. Apple Music aims to release a dedicated channel. Apple Music aims to release a dedicated classical music app next year, which will combine Prime Phonic's user interface with some of Apple's own features. Prime Phonic wrote in a letter to users on its website, quote, As a classical-only startup, we cannot reach the majority of global classic listeners, especially those that listen to many other music genres as well. We therefore concluded that in order to achieve our mission, we needed to partner with a leading streaming service that encompasses all music genres and also shares our love for classical music. PrimePhonic has closed its doors to new users and it will shut down September 7th. Subscribers will get a prorated refund and 6 months of Apple Music access for free. They'll be able to listen to hundreds of thousands of classical albums while Apple builds the forthcoming app. Apple says all those albums are available in lossless and high-res audio. Hundreds of them have spatial audio support as well. Apple is promising Apple Music subscribers, quote, a significantly improved classical music experience following the deal, including PrimePhonic's playlists and exclusive audio content. In the coming months, it plans to harness the capabilities of PrimePhonic to offer classical music offer classical music fans improved browsing and search functions. You'll be able to look for works by composer, and repertoire, and see, quote, detailed displays of classical music metadata. Oliver Schuster, vice president of Apple Music and Beat, says, quote, we love and have a deep respect for classical music, and PrimePhonic has become a fan favorite for classical enthusiasts. Together, we're bringing a great new classical feature to Apple Music, and in the near future, we'll deliver a dedicated classical experience that will be truly best in the world. I'm not a big fan of classical music. There's others that are, so definitely check it out when it comes to Apple Music. If you are a Spectrum TV customer, good news, HBO Max and YouTube are officially arriving on Spectrum TV. This is the first time the apps have been supported on Spectrum TV. Charter's digital cable provider and live TV app, and users will be able to access content from both apps through the platform's guide on channels 2004 for HBO Max and 2003 for YouTube. Users will also be able to find them by searching from the guide or from the guide's app menu. A subscription to HBO Max, which costs $10 per month with ads, or $15 to go ad-free and unlock same-day theatrical releases, will still be required to access the content. A spokesperson has told The Verge that the guide channels offer an additional method for customers to access the HBO Max and YouTube apps. Together with Netflix, they are the first three streaming apps to be accessible directly through the Spectrum guide. Elena Ritchie, Spectrum's Group Vice President of Video Experience, says in a statement, quote, as the video landscape continues to change, we are evolving our products and making it easier for our customers to what they want by producing access to streaming apps from convenient launch points within the Spectrum TV experience. We look forward to growing this library and expect to launch more streaming video apps in the coming months. According to the International Data Corporation, or IDC, Worldwide Quarterly Mobile Voting Tracker, shipments of smartphones are expected to grow 7.4% in 2021, reaching 1.37 billion units, followed by 3.4% growth in 2022 and 2023, respectively. The 7-point growth can be attributed to a healthy, this is coming from this report, they contribute to a healthy 13.8 growth from iOS devices combined with a 6.2 growth from Android. Although COVID-19 drastically impacted 2020 shipments, 2020 shipments have managed to display minimal growth compared to 2019 pre-pandemic volumes, giving us a more accurate view of the state of the market. The world's largest markets, China, the United States, and Western Europe, will still be down from 2019, but growing markets such as India, Japan, the Middle East, and Africa are fueling the recovery. Ryan Reith, Group Vice President with IDC's Mobile and Consumer Device Tracker, says, quote, the smartphone market was better prepared from a supply chain perspective heading into 2020, given almost all regions were expecting to grow and vendors were preparing accordingly. 2020 was a bust due to the pandemic, but all the top brands continued forward with their production plans, with the main difference that the timeline was pushed out. Therefore, we are at a point where inventory levels are much healthier than PCs and some other adjacent markets, and we are seeing the resilience of consumer demand in recent quarterly results. So I know for certain that Apple's coming out with new iPhone this year. Samsung already came out with their phones this year. Google's coming out with the Pixel coming out October. So I'm looking forward to the Google Pixel, Google Pixel 6. I can't wait. So hopefully with everything, maybe things will die down and see what happens by the end of this year, beginning of next, what's going to happen next. And finally on this episode, Volkswagen has unveiled a new feature for its CarNet connected vehicle service that lets you go get 4G data from two major telecoms called, quote, carrier of choice. It offers the option of Verizon or T-Mobile, making it relatively easy to add your vehicle to an existing mobile plan. Starting in September, VW owners in the U.S. will be able to access the subscription plan options on VW's dedicated website or via its mobile app. From there, you can add an account to your existing mobile wireless provider. Of course, it has to be either Verizon or T-Mobile, and pair it with your existing Volkswagen CarNet subscription. It will then appear as a new line item on your existing bill. If you're not already with those carriers, you can get unlimited 4G data for $20 per month. CarNet offers connected car features like remote start locking and unlocking the vehicle, maintenance status, teen driver alerts, curfew, boundary speed, and more. Those features can be accessed remotely from both iPhone and Android smartphones using VW's updated mobile app. It also offers a Wi-Fi hotspot with, quote, unlimited 4G connectivity for up to four devices. On top of those features, VW lets you access iHeartRadio and Tidal Media. And Tidal Media, I wouldn't recommend that because it's not a great app. streaming apps with a paid subscription also offers the, quote, Plus Nav subscription with real-time traffic and route updates for $49 a year. A radio subscription with 30,000 global stations for $8 per year and a natural language speech option for $9 per year. Of course, VW models from 2019 and up come with CarPlay and Android Auto support, giving you many of those options for free. CarNet comes standard on most 2020 model year and newer Volkswagen vehicles. So that's a little bit light on tech news. I'm running. We're about 27 minutes in on the. So I apologize. Again, a little light. Hopefully Thursday's episode, a little more news for tech news. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode. Comments on today's episode, I would love to hear them. I'm at PA@geeknewscentral.com or on Twitter at Kirk Corliss. Please be sure to subscribe to support this podcast either on geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, or another great way to support the podcast is by geeknewscentral.com/insider. Where Todd is definitely going to get an episode out to you all for all the insiders out there really, really soon. So please be on the lookout for it. Be well worth the wait. By supporting this podcast, pays the bills, lights, rent, insurance, all that good stuff. Supports me as well, paying me as well, which I'm happy to be a part of this podcast for you each and every Monday and Thursday, Mondays and Thursday evenings. I'll be back this Thursday for another episode of the Geek News Central podcast. Till then, so long.